Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhouseonline.com.au.
Well, you might have heard in the news this week about the South Australian decision to effectively ban the teaching of creationism in science classrooms in Christian schools. A Seventh-day Adventist school discovered that some rules had quietly been changed by the non-government schools registration board back in December when it faced not being registered for another year. It's the latest story in what seems to be a growing push nationwide to make it harder for creationism, as it's often called, to be taught as a theory of origins, even in Christian schools. Bob Johnston is the executive officer of the Australian Association of Christian Schools and with us now. Bob, welcome to Open House.
Thanks, Sheridan.
Yeah, thanks for your time. Let's start with this situation in South Australia, and then let's move around to the other states so we just discover what's kind of happening in light of these kinds of decisions being made in South Australia. So the SA situation first, when and what rules were changed?
Well, it comes in the form of a policy from the South Australian Non-Government School Registrations Board. And it was made without consultation, or certainly without wide consultation. And it comes in a very short statement that says the board requires the teaching of science as an empirical discipline, focusing on inquiry, hypothesis, investigation, experimentation, observation, and evidential analysis. So far, so good. The second part, however, is the board does not accept as satisfactory a science curriculum in a non-government school which is based upon, espouses or reflects the literal interpretation of a religious text in its treatment of either creationism or intelligent design. Now, I guess that raises all sorts of questions for us that we sort of think, my goodness, where are they coming from and how on earth can a professional body make a statement of that nature?
The word that jumped out to me as you were reading that statement was the word reflects.
Yeah.
Because a number of things can actually reflect a worldview, the Christian worldview or another worldview.
Exactly.
Yeah. So the rules were changed back in December. Why are you just hearing about them now?
Well, they sort of crept upon us. You know, it's not one of those sort of things that you would expect to just be implemented without due notice. But unfortunately, we're certainly aware of the SDA school that you mentioned, and potentially other non-government schools that were coming up for registration this year who were not advised that this policy had been introduced or had been passed by the board. And so they were really caught a little bit unprepared for what was a pretty significant registration process whereby their funding and their approval as a registered school comes under examination.
Well, let's do a trip around some of the other states then. New South Wales, what's happening there in light of this kind of policy?
Yes, well, it wasn't quite as, I suppose, precise in its implications, but in a policy, an official announcement, my recollection was sort of around about August, September last year. There was a similar policy announcement made by the Board of Studies that governs the registration of schools in New South Wales. And it says that the board wishes to remind teachers that creationism and intelligent design are not part of the board science syllabuses. If taught as part of any school-based program, it must be clear to the students that creationism and intelligent design, A, are not scientific nor evidence-based, B, will not be included in any task that forms part of the assessment for the school certificate and high school certificate, and C, will not be tested in any school certificate or high school examination. And now, we're not worried about B and C, but we take exception to the flagrantly unsupportable statement that creationism and intelligent design are not scientific nor evidence-based. That's just plain poppycock.
I mean, you only need to pick up any of the various texts that are actually out there, particularly, say, in intelligent design, although creation organisations as well, but particularly intelligent design that has done so much work, philosophical and scientific, there to actually say, actually, these questions are actually coming out of things like the DNA strand and the human cell, et cetera, to see that there's enough there to be raising questions.
Okay, our concern is that there is a huge body of evidence coming from various schools of science, which very clearly point to the fact that there are hard questions as yet unanswered, And to say that those pieces of evidence either are not relevant or not up to scratch when it comes to the preferred models that are doing the rounds in state curriculums is just nonsense.
Mm. All right, Victoria?
Yeah, Victoria is an interesting case in point. There was a little bit of a kerfuffle about 18 months ago. It wasn't in the form of a policy, but there were certainly procedures in place that brought into question how schools were dealing with the issue of the teaching of creation and similar sorts of models.
Mm-hmm. And for our Ultra 106.5 listeners, Tasmania, is that kind of following Victoria?
I haven't heard anything from Tasmania at this stage, nor officially from Queensland, West Australia or the Territories. But at this stage, we understand that there is some discussion going on in Queensland, but I haven't seen the text of it.
Okay. All right, Open House right across the nation, 1300 40 2020. I'd like to know your view. Do you think creationism has a place in the science classroom, or do you think, as some various government agencies are starting to say, it really should be relegated to religion? 1300 40 2020. Give me a call now. Bob Johnston from the Australian Association of Christian Schools is on the line. Okay, Bob, now the fact is that there is a bit of disagreement about this, even within the Christian community. I mean, some Christians would say that the origins, kind of a creational approach to things, doesn't fit into the science classroom, and they're quite happy for it to be, say, like a Catholic school system often will actually have that kind of as part of chapel time or their religion classes. What's your take on that approach?
Yeah, look, I respect the fact that different systems of schooling or types of schooling will treat the issue in different ways, and I'm not suggesting there is only one way it should be done. But in the case of most of the schools that I represent, and indeed many schools in the non-government faith-based sector, would take the view that knowledge of all kinds comes under the purview, I suppose, or overview of a worldview that one holds, which is based on the things that one believes.
Mm.
Now, it sounds a little bit philosophical, but we would clearly hold that if you put science on a pedestal and say that it can't be examined, it's above all of the other rules for understanding knowledge, then it means that you put it above the evidence of history and archaeology and critical thinking and logical argument. And you say it just doesn't pass muster because those things are inferior to science. And we would say, no, that's not acceptable. As far as we're concerned, knowledge is holistic, and when you become a fully grown adult, you don't think in boxes like science and history and economics and so forth. You think holistically. And so we would argue that to relegate it to religion classes or biblical studies classes is just encouraging the kids in what we would call dualism.
Mm-hmm.
And we think that that is counterproductive to good education.
Mm-hmm. Do you think evolution has any place in a science curriculum for a Christian school?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
The last thing I would want your listeners to think would be that we are opposed to knowledge being exposed in the classroom. The reality is that evolution is a very, very powerful idea that underpins a huge number of issues throughout our society, especially Western society. And for us not to be aware of how it works and its implications would be sort of diseducation. And we would certainly not see that as being helpful in the least.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, a few calls are coming through. Let me just weave David into the conversation. Hi, David.
Hi, how you going?
Yeah, well, thank you. What are your thoughts on this when it comes to creationism? Do you think it belongs in the science classroom or the religion classroom?
Well, I think it's both. I mean, if you have a look at any of the topics that are brought up by people who are lecturing on creation and science, that the comment that you've just made was that if there is no documented evidence, well, first of all, the Bible is documented evidence, and then if they're going to be teaching science and evolution, they can't prove that either.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Encyclopedia Britannica acknowledges that the creation of the Earth was 6,500 years ago, up until about 1910 or 1912. Yeah.
Oh, the encyclopedia. Oh, up until 1910 or 1912, it actually, that's what it had as its entry.
If you have a look at all the early copies of Encyclopedia Britannica, they acknowledge creation of the date of the creation of Earth about 6,500 years ago from now, so 4,500 years BC. And I mean, what more documented evidence do you want? I mean,
well, the argument could be put back that we've had plenty of science that's actually come about over the last literally 100 years that would rewrite those books. That's what they'd actually argue.
Yeah, I mean, last year was the anniversary of Darwinism, and people are all talking about that, and that's pretty much basing where all these arguments are coming from. But if you study Darwinism and use the scientific method to study it, you can't prove anything. However, if you use history and if you use the Bible, you can chronologically establish the definition of the divinity of the Bible. So therefore, why wouldn't you teach that in the classroom?
Okay, thanks for your call, David. 1-300-40-2020. What do you think about the idea of creation, evolution, and what their place is in the curriculum of high school, in particular, say, Christian schools? Bob Johnston from the Australian Association of Christian Schools is with us. I mean, there is a question raised there, whether you hold to a literal interpretation of the first few chapters of Genesis or whether you don't, that evolution itself is still, quote, a theory. And so to some degree, it still needs to be treated as a theory. And so why can't other theories, also kind of be lined up alongside it?
Look, it's a fascinating question. And many others before me, I've walked the road of curiosity and sort of saying, how on earth did you do that, God? It's a fascination for all of us. But I think that David's point is that there are many, many fields of evidence. And even if you examine the arguments from within the various branches of science, there are old Earth and young Earth theories. Amongst people who have absolutely no belief in God, they'll tear one another apart on whether or not their theory is a better theory than those who hold a different view. And we need to recognise that this is far from a safe theory. So much of the evolutionary theoretical position, especially macroevolution, so much of that is based on stuff that is not observable, was never observable. It's actually something that has had to be filled in more by paintbrush than by science. And yet there are other little fragments of evidence on which they take a great deal of encouragement and build their theory around those fragments. Of course, they also have other areas of evidence where they've got a great deal of information which is very supportive of the idea of gradual change. And I'm convinced that the gradual change does take place within species. But what do you do when the transitional species, there's very little, if any, evidence for the transitional species. So what do you do with that question? Do you just pretend it isn't important? And yet the macro theory very heavily relies on a theory that just wipes that apart.
All right. George is in Liverpool in Sydney. Hi, George.
Hi, how are you going?
Yeah, well, thank you. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts is this. My experience has been talking to non-Christians about this topic, the non-Christian world has made up its mind that the theory of evolution has proven the Bible wrong and that science has proven the Bible wrong. But at the end of the day, it's the theory of evolution. It's not the fact of evolution. And because a person may not necessarily have faith, as far as they're concerned, science and the theory of evolution have proven the Bible wrong. But as believers, if we choose to send our children to Christian schools, and that's what we believe, I believe that we should be entitled to teach our children what we believe, and we believe in creation.
Okay, now that's a really good question to run past you, Bob, because here must be the great dilemma of state-based governments. Because on the one hand, you've got the argument that George has just raised there. A Christian parent wants their child to be raised in a certain way with a particular view of the world, and yet the government has a moral responsibility as, directors of the state to make sure that education is the quality of education is actually appropriate, including maybe something like this. Bit of a challenge then for all parties involved as to how to, reach both goals.
Look, it's a fascinating area that I'm forced by virtue of my position to face all the time. And with the release of the national curriculum, there's going to be yet another round of considerations of just how do we go about responding to this new expression of what is best for our kids to know in the context of their schooling.
Mm-hmm.
I take the view, first of all, that Christian schools neither should be nor are reclusive little places where kids are mollycoddled and protected from tough stuff. Quite the contrary, I'm very much of the view that they should be, and in fact are, places where kids are really challenged to think. But to think with the eyes of faith as being a part of their overall worldview. Mm-hmm. It isn't something to be set aside to Sunday mornings or whenever it is that they do their religious bit each week. It's a whole of life. It's a worldview thing. And we're very much encouraging our schools to say, hey, let's not be myopic in the way in which we look at this. Let's look at it much more robustly. And let's be quite open to the challenges of the hard evidence. And where we have to say we live with loose ends, well, we live with loose ends. Mm-hmm. That's part of living by faith. And we're not afraid of saying, I don't know. That's God's province, for him to be God, not for us.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're very happy to say to kids and to encourage kids to say, hey, there's a whole lot of questions for which the only answer we can really give is, I don't know.
Yeah.
And there are other issues on which we can say to kids, well, look, there is some evidence here, and it's tantalisingly suggesting that it might be this or it might be that. But we have to say to them, just hang loose with it, because at this stage, the real answer is still, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a balanced approach. Bob, just stay on the line. I've got one more question for you. I want you to give me basically what would be your dream understanding as to how creationism and evolution can actually be taught in the one classroom. Just think on that for a minute. I want to open up the discussion a little bit broader, though. 1-300-40-2020, if you are a teacher and you've faced this dilemma of how to kind of straddle both, what have you done? Have you kind of dropped evolution for just teaching creation in your school if you're a Christian teacher? Have you dropped creation just to teach evolution if you're all that way inclined? I'd love to know why. Either way, 1-300-40-2020. As a parent, what would you like your kids to learn? Would you like them to learn both? Would you like them just to learn one or the other? If so, I'd love to know which one and why. And if you're a student and you went through a particular schooling institution, what did you get taught? What did you get taught? Was it just evolution? Did you go through a church school that actually was happy to teach evolution and then said, well, you know, God was actually involved in evolution, the theistic evolution as it's actually technically called? Or did you go to another school where you were taught creation, later on came across evolution in university, had to try and rework all of your worldview? You know, we haven't had this conversation a lot on this program, but every now and then we'll open it up. And just to get people's views, especially after this news that you would have seen probably during the week out of South Australia about one Christian school that faced not being registered for the next year simply because it continues to teach creationism in its science classes. The rules were changed back in December and it made the news this week, basically saying, well, where does creationism fit? Does it fit in the science room, the science classroom? Does it fit in religion? Or where? I'm taking your calls on that. Then I want to wrap up with Bob Johnston from the Australian Association of Christian Schools. Angela, hi.
Oh, good evening, Sheridan.
Yeah, what do you think about this science, evolution, creationism thing and where it fits in the high school curriculum?
Well, this is just my own thoughts, that science itself isn't exact. It's evolving with theories and hypotheses, often changing, and that questioning itself is an important part of learning and acquiring knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And I think then there should be freedom of choice to begin with,
mm-hmm.
And also for both to be examined. And I think that is very healthy. To me, it seems like a dictate that's quite unreasonable.
Yes, and that's the concern that other Christian schools around the nation are kind of fearing in many ways, because what becomes a precedent in South Australia becomes followed in other states as well.
Well, I think Yes, that's quite right. But the concern is, where does it stop? Surely the basis of learning is questioning, is examining both evolution and the creation theory, both.
Mm, mm.
And then for the individual to make up their own minds.
Mm, okay, yeah. Thanks for your call, Angela.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Yeah. Always nice to talk to you. Michael's in Adelaide. Hi, Michael.
Hello.
Yeah, what did you learn when you went through school?
Yes, I went to a Catholic school as well. And, we learned about the Christian and the evolution.
Mm-hmm.
And like the last lady was saying, like obviously the science isn't always right. But then I used to look at the Bible and used to say a lot of this contradicts itself as well. Because I do believe in God,
mm-hmm.
but I also believe in the theory of evolution. And I said mm-hmm. I could be wrong. But like, for example, the Bible says something like anger is a sin. And that Jesus never sinned, yet he went into the temple and got angry when
overturned the money changers and everything. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. So, like, I believe
you think that's a contradiction.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I believe Jesus was real, but like, pretty much another thing is he says he was the Son of God, but mm-hmm. I was also brought up like to learn that like we're all God's children. So even when we pray, we say our Father who art in the heaven. So mm-hmm. aren't we all are we all sons and daughters of God? Yeah, it's just this topic kind of interested me because like, I believe that both are relevant.
Yeah.
But,
Well, you've got me thinking on a whole range of things now, Michael, with some of the things you've raised there. So what you're saying is because you think that there are kind of some contradictions in the Bible.
But there's also contradictions in science.
In science as well.
Arguments, isn't there?
Okay, so that raises a very interesting a kind of line of reasoning. There's contradictions in the Bible, so there's contradictions in science. Now, let me raise that first one with you.
Yep.
The whole idea of Jesus being the Son of God, since we're going a little bit of a tangent here, it's interesting. The Bible does talk about us being creations of God. It talks about the fact that we can become sons and daughters of God.
Yep.
But Jesus is kind of separated out there as one who was not just a son of God, but the Son of God. In fact, and you probably would have learnt this in your religion courses too, God incarnate, something completely different to, say, you and me having a family relationship with God. So the Bible kind of puts Jesus in a whole different league altogether.
Like I said, I do believe he was a real person. I do believe he sacrificed himself for the good of humanity.
Yep.
But then, it also says, a lot of things. Like, there's a, what was I thinking of? Oh, sorry, I'm just trying to think.
Yeah.
He apparently, I believe he was, a good person, but, like, Islam, I don't know, you know how Islam, they say he was more of a prophet?
Yeah.
How they teach that? That's what I kind of believe, sort of thing. But
okay.
Obviously, he could perform miracles and that,
Yep. So since you left your Catholic schooling, have you had a chance to then look into the Christian faith since then?
Not really. I've just questioned it and like researched it a lot as well.
Mm-hmm.
Just because also I looked up like other people that have, like for example, says Sir Isaac Newton, who was very religious, mm-hmm. Also very religious. He had like different theories as well, and he's ranked above Jesus in the most influential people in history, which is kind of strange.
By whom? By which list? There's been a number of lists. Which list?
That's what I'm saying. History's not always right or wrong. It's who writes the...
yes. So it sounds like you've got a number of questions at the moment. Yeah. And so, what are you looking to do with some of these questions? I mean, are you... where are you reading? I mean, are you reading the Bible? Are you reading Christian books?
I try to look at like all different texts because, like, I would say, like, even though I was raised as a Catholic, baptized as a Catholic, I take a lot of things from a lot of different religions because
mm-hmm.
I know the Bible teaches a lot of good things, but so does Islam, so does Buddhism.
So you're in some way just looking for truth. You're kind of looking for wherever that truth can actually be found.
Yeah, like just truth to myself. It doesn't have to be true to other people, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. You're raising so many questions for me, Michael. Everything you say, I want to go, oh, that's a good conversation. Let's keep on going with that. I hope you call in again. I guess the key thing for you will to actually be, all of those religions you've talked about all claim to actually be exclusive.
Yeah.
And so if we're going to take them at their face value, we actually can't say there's a bit of this and a bit of that and a bit of this and a bit of that. Yeah, there might be some similar social teachings.
A lot of similarities.
Socially, sure. But all of them teach different perspectives on God and different perspectives on salvation. So I think the key thing for you will be to kind of work out, well, what really, which faith really does make sense of the world and which one really can actually, I guess, stand by the exclusivity claim.
Yeah, but, and also, you talk about perception as well, but if you go to a Catholic church and they read, one text from a Bible and they say it means that, and then if you go to another church, also a Catholic church, they might have a different meaning for the exact same text, which is another question which I had. It's all about perception.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How you perceive it.
Well, can we stay in contact, Michael?
Yes, that's cool.
Yeah, great. Well, look, I'll put you back to Claire, and we'll get your details, and if there's anything that comes to mind that I think, you know, might help you in your journey, can I shoot it off to you in an email or something?
That's not a problem.
Okay, right. Well, you stay on the line. Claire will get your details and we'll follow up.
Yep.
Good to talk to you. Hope you call again too.
All right, thank you.
Get me thinking. Love conversations like that. We're talking about creation and evolution, etc. And all the interesting conversation that start to spin off that as well. Hi, Roger.
Hi, g'day. How are you?
Yeah, well, thank you. You're a science teacher?
I am indeed. And, and what I was going to say is I think in some ways the science versus the Bible is a bit of a false dichotomy, really, a false choice. When we're talking about this issue here, I think the real choice is between theism and atheism. And I guess my concern is that often when we talk about evolution, we're really talking about evolutionism, the kind of religion, if you like, the atheistic religion. So quite often, teachers might make the statement, we're nothing but a bunch of cells.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at a scientific level, you can say, I understand that. There's only cells in the body. But really often what they're saying is a metaphysical or a religious statement. In other words, there's no more to being human than just to being a collection of cells.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, maybe with this debate, we should make sure that if we're having evolution taught in our classrooms, and absolutely we should be, that it's evolution, not evolutionism.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the religion that should be behind that. And and I think having taught teenage kids a lot, it's really helpful to clarify the difference between the physical world that we're talking about and natural processes relating to that physical world and the metaphysical ideas of meaning and purpose and faith. So to say that we're nothing but a bunch of cells is a statement about our meaning and purpose in life as much as it is about biology. But sometimes those two things get confused and kids walk out thinking, oh, there's no meaning and purpose in life because I'm just a bunch of cells.
Mm.
So I wonder if we should keep religion entirely out of the science classrooms and keep the atheism out of the science classrooms and have that debate of theism versus atheism in a more appropriate location.
Mm-hmm. Good thought, Roger. Thanks so much for your call. Bob Johnson from the Australian Association of Christian Schools, I want to let you go because you've been with us for now half an hour and I appreciate your time. It's been fascinating to talk to you. And some interesting calls coming through on this too. If you were to say what is the best, in your mind, what is the best way for both the ideas of evolution and the ideas of creationism, if we want to use that phrase, to be taught in a Christian school, what is the best framework within the curriculum?
Like you, I've had such a fascinating last 5 minutes. My mind is literally whizzing with ideas. But if I can pick up something that Roger just referred to, I think it's probably somewhere in his goal that I would like to see an outcome. But I'm not sure that his solution is achievable.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that in the secular realm, where the only thing that matters is the material, there is, by virtue of their predisposition to atheism or to the material world, there is a predisposition to actually have your question affected by your assumption.
Mm-hmm.
And so, because my background is in philosophy, I guess I'm always concerned that the presumed objectivity of science is possible to be sustained. And so, in trying to make the distinction and keep religion out of the science classroom, and I understand entirely Roger's distinction between evolution and evolutionism,
mm-hmm.
the reality is that the great majority of teachers would find that almost impossible
because they bring their own predispositions, their own faith, if you like, to the very questions that inform their lesson.
Yes.
So I would still claim that it's far better to actually say, let's have a good look at the fascinating area of origin. Let's look at the evidence that comes from various fields of science. And let's hold fairly loosely the various models that have come up, recognising that there is a point at which faith interacts with the very limited science that is available. Mm-hmm. And while some science is very well established and very convincing and very fascinating, the reality is that it doesn't provide a foolproof model in any category, whether it be the creation science or the intelligent design movement or the various forms of evolutionary theory, and there are many of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so we would just argue, let's have a recognition that kids need to be open to the evidence, no matter where it comes from.
Yes.
And if it creates an inconvenient truth, c'est la vie.
Yes.
It really just has to be allowed to be the loose end that it is. And true science should be big enough and brave enough to handle that.
Yes.
We don't want to have a situation where a certain minister for education from a state that I won't name for obvious reasons goes into a school and sees a book on creationism in the library and says, surely you don't teach that rubbish here.
Mm.
Now, that's just totally unprofessional. It's ignorant.
Mm.
And it's an indication of the person's predisposition to see diseducation or poor education carried out. And we would really want to see that there's got to be a place for the challenges to the conventional model,
mm-hmm.
where we're able to examine the conflicting evidence and saying, yeah, look, hang loose with the truths that you can sustain,
yeah.
recognise that there's still more to know.
Yeah.
And maybe the place we'll find that knowledge is actually in the area of belief and not in science.
Yeah. Fascinating to talk to you, Bob. I really appreciate your time tonight.
That's a pleasure, and all the best.
Yeah, thank you. You too. Bob Johnston from the Australian Association of Christian Schools.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit openhouseonline.com.au.